Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's been a blessing already to have come into your house tonight to see the saints of God and to hear the prayers, to sing these wonderful hymns. And now as we take a few moments this evening to open your word, we pray that you would open our hearts, and we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. I've got a Webster's 1828 dictionary. It's on my computer, but I really like it because Noah Webster was a saved man, and as you read things about words about Christ and salvation, he really expounds some wonderful things. I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I looked up a word, incomparable. And to me, that describes the Lord Jesus Christ. He's incomparable. Incomparable is an adjective. It means that compared to Christ, that no one else can even compare. That's what the word means. Incomparable. That no one else can even compare, in his case, to his perfect holiness, to his excellence, to his virtue, to his perfection, to his power, to his wisdom. In Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, we read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the coal, the foal of an ass." The Lord Jesus Christ is lowly because he humbled himself. He humbled himself. And it was the manner in which, the way that he submitted himself to the will of his Father. Even on the cross, the Lord Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I believe throughout his earthly ministry, he most often dealt with sinners in gentleness. Like the woman at the well, like the blind man, like those who were halt and lame. And this was the incomparable Christ during most of his earthly ministry. There were exceptions. For example, there was the time when the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found those in the temple that were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money. And you remember, he didn't deal in gentleness in that situation. He made a scourge of small cords, and he drove them all out of the temple. Drove the sheep out, the oxen out. He drove everything out. He overthrew the tables. And he said to them that sold doves, "Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." So he was gentle, but he was also firm. And the Bible says that one early morning he came to the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees in that setting brought a woman that was taken in adultery. And right in the midst of everyone, they sat her down. And they said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They were trying to tempt the Lord Jesus, as they often did. They were accusing him. They were constantly accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he didn't even hear them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up, the Bible says, and he said, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And then he stooped back down on the ground again. What did the Lord write on the ground? The Bible only says that when they questioned him, he stooped down and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. The Bible doesn't say what was written. He could have been writing the Ten Commandments. In fact, the only other time that God wrote with his finger, not on the ground but on the tables of stone, was the Ten Commandments. The first table of stones he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And God had given these to Moses. And you know the story. When Moses came back down off the mountain and found the whole nation of Israel had turned themselves over to idolatry, he got so angry that he threw them down and broke them. Big mistake. He was never allowed to enter the promised land because of that. God took him up and let him see it, but he was never able to enter it. And the Bible says that in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18 that he gave Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him on Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony. Written with the finger of God. And the Lord had to give him another set. And a few chapters later, the Lord said to Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write on these tables the words that were on the first tables which thou brokest. The Lord Jesus, as we mentioned, even though he was King of Kings, he was just. The Bible says the King is just and having salvation. He's lowly. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, the Lord Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. Think about that. The Lord Jesus, the one who created heaven and earth, and the one who came down to earth to pay the debt of our sins, he said, I can of myself do nothing. I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, Abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. Because branches cannot bear fruit of themselves except they're abiding in the vine. And I am the vine and ye are the branches. Abide in me. That word abide means to stay in a given place, to continue, to stand, to remain. If the branch is separated from the vine, it's going to die. And he told them, you are that you are the branches and I'm the vine. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, because he has no more life of the vine. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And what happens to withered branches? Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. This is really basic husbandry. It's basic farming. It's raising crops and production of crops. This is farming. And so, in John's gospel, the Lord told his disciples, as he tells you and me, he's speaking this just as real, just as intended for it to accomplish its purpose tonight as it was 2,000 years ago. And he told his disciples, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And of course, if we're abiding in him, we're not going to ask to win the next billion-dollar lottery. And the Lord said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified. That's how the believer can glorify the Father in heaven. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. The psalmist said in chapter 56 and verse 11, In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. That person is not afraid because his trust is in God. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. The psalmist also said, the Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And of course, a verse similar that we all are familiar with, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means to believe in the Lord. Even when the circumstances of life seem to go south and it's just not working as we want them to work, That's the time of all times to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And not only that, we should not lean to our own understanding. Our understanding is flawed at best. But the Lord's understanding is not flawed. And we need to trust in Him at all times. And He also said, the proverb after that said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The Christian life should be developed in us in a way that even though we don't see Him, we know that He's with us. Just like we come here and we see and we know we're with the saints of God. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We can believe day by day that He's with us. The Lord is merciful. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a gracious God. He's slow to anger. He does get angry. But he's slow to anger. And He's plenteous in mercy. Slow in anger and plenteous in mercy. And He further admonishes you and me in 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter said this, be ye all of you, be of one mind. The mind of Christ. He said, be ye all of ye of one mind and have compassion one for another. Love as brethren, pitiful. God says we should be pitiful. We should be courteous. God says that. 1 Peter 3:8. Not rendering evil for evil. I'm going to get even. That's not Christ. That's not Christ-like. Not rendering evil for evil or railing. But contrariwise, blessing. Render blessings. He says, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, you know, life is something to be loved when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're walking with Him, our hearts are burdened over the lost. Our hearts are burdened when we hear these prayers that are needed for all the sick folk. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Don't gossip. Don't talk about people. Pray for people. But don't be a busybody going around talking about everybody. And let his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. You know, when I study the Bible, just like you, these verses come out of it. And the Word of God is living. It's living. Peter said also, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. Listen, when we get serious about praying, the Lord's ears are open to that. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, the gentleness of Christ as the Lamb of God, in a day soon coming, it's going to turn to judgment. Judgment. It won't be the Lamb of God. It'll be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In our gospel, the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. There's so many religious, it's all about religion to churches everywhere, practically. It's about religion. It's not about a loving Savior that gave his life for us on the cross. Oh yeah, we mention that occasionally, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ will shine into them. He said, abide in me. Abide in me. I mean, there's so much encouragement out of God's word. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. God's just has abundance of blessings for his people. More than we can even hold. But it's a qualified, it's something that qualifies us to abide in him, and his words abide in us. The psalmist said, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. The incomparable Christ. For in him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. That's our incomparable Christ. The Bible says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven. Everything in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ created it. Everything that is on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. What a Savior. And by the way, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, by him all things consist. I really had to park on that word consist for a while. I think it was mentioned recently in another message here. Colossians 1:17, by him all things consist. All things are being held together from the farthest reaches of the universe to our very bodies and everything we see. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's holding everything. By him, all things consist. And then a lovely, lovely verse. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I was thinking about that verse this week. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. How is it that we can live day to day? That's not talking about sinless perfection, but as a way of living. How is it that we don't get trapped in sin of any type? How does that happen? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Get God's word out of the book into your heart, and your sin will drop off. You won't want to do things that are sinful in the sight of the precious Savior. Thy word have I hid in my heart, the psalmist said, that I might not sin against thee. The incomparable Christ. Incomparable. There's nothing that can even compare. Nothing can compare to him. Well, there's more notes that I have, but I think I'll end with those. And let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again, we're so grateful for this meeting tonight. It's just a blessing to be here, to hear the singing, the praying, and most of all, to open your word. And Lord, these are simple but powerful truths. They're simple. They're within reach. Anyone here tonight can, it's within their reach. And you're just waiting to pour out great blessings upon us. And you do pour out great blessings. And we just pray that, as the psalmist said, that we might hide your word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.